Blackhawks Live.
Fire, score!
Go Blackhawks!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, time to talk hockey.
Very much looking forward to this Blackhawks season. New coach, Jeff Blashill, he has not been taking it easy on them. Blashill told the players, this won't be a normal training camp. I don't want this to come across as disrespectful. It's the first time in a long time that the Blackhawks have had a legit NHL head coaching staff from top to bottom.
Facts are facts. It's time for Blackhawks Live.
It's time!
Are you sure? Sure?
It's time!
Sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Remiliotis here. And as always, Jack Heinrich is with me. But for the second straight show, Jack is in Chicago and I'm on the road again in St. Louis for my hotel room. So, Jack, I can't see you again. But we were able to spend some time together yesterday. And the Hawks got a big Blackhawks win last night.
Yeah, first one of the year. It was nice. The vibes were good. The Bears won. The Hawks won. Can't say that a lot recently, so it was a good double header for Chicago.
It was, and I think it made up for Saturday over the weekend when the Blackhawks lost their home opener. The Cubs got eliminated in the Game 5 do-or-die against Milwaukee. I believe U of I football lost, but Jack, your Northwestern Wildcats had a huge win against Penn State. So the Saturday wasn't all lost, but I think yesterday it was a big Blackhawks and Bears win that was going on simultaneously. And how about this, Jack? So I did a podcast earlier today with Pat Boyle, which we're going to air a snippet towards the end of the show, but I guess CHSN dug this up. And the last time the Bears and Blackhawks both won on a Monday night, it was October of 2006. And I don't know if you remember this, Jack. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old you were. But
I do.
I was in eighth grade when this happened. But this was the Monday night football game where it was the Cardinals meltdown where Devin Hester ended up winning it for the Bears. Do you
That's
remember
right.
this?
I do. Yeah. Young Jack remembers.
Yeah. young Jack remembers. I was in eighth grade when that happened, and I remember getting sent up to bed in like the beginning of the fourth quarter because the game was over and it was a school night. And I think I heard like the Bears were starting to come back, and so I snuck downstairs to the bottom stair where I could see the family room TV through like a little crack. And I was able to watch the Devin Hester punt return. So I remember exactly, but it was a big Blackhawks win as well. that's how to do it. You got to sneakily do it. Make sure the parents don't know that you're doing it. Big Blackhawks win. Actually, first of all, let me say this. Got to bury the lead here. The Blackhawks chairman and CEO, Danny Wirtz, I talked to him yesterday before morning skate. We had a great conversation on the centennial season, the Blackhawks Hall of Fame, the rebuild starting to take shape. We're going to air that coming up in the second segment, so stay tuned for that. We aired a snippet of it in the pregame show yesterday, but thank you to Danny and the Blackhawks for allowing us to do that. Had a really fun conversation, so that's coming up on the second segment. But yeah, Jack, let's get to the big win on Monday last night against the Utah Mammoth. It was not pretty. I think the Hawks had finished with only 14 shots on goal. So that's not necessarily a recipe for success. But I think the encouraging thing is the Hawks found a way to win a hockey game in a tight game when they weren't at their best. It was tight checking. It was low event. And it was a game that last year and years past, they probably find a way to lose. But this year or in this game, they found a way to win. And they've come close in the first three games against Florida. Boston went to overtime. Montreal, it was 15 seconds away from getting to overtimes, and that could have gone either way. But it was nice to see, Jack, that the Blackhawks were finally able to break through in a tight game last night against Utah.
Yeah, the whole first week we were talking about how it was nice that they were taking steps into being competitive and they had chances to win every one of those games. It's nice to talk about a win. The locker room was in good spirits. They really liked Jeff Blashill as his first win. It sounded like Nick Foligno said a few words, and Blashill talked about how much he enjoys coaching this group, which was cool to hear. And The players have talked about it too. I think Connor Bedard did after the game in Boston. He said he liked the group. Y. Kaiser on the CHSN said he really likes the locker room. So everything's gelling good. Now it's just about translating onto the ice, and Monday's that first step, finding a way to win. They would like to get more shots on goal, like you said. In that second period got a little hairy there, but Spencer Knight has just been phenomenal to start the year. So it's nice when the goaltending's backing up. You're playing the defensive zone if things get a little sideways, because there was a big push from Utah in that second period that they were able to hold off.
Oh, no question. I think the shots on goal in that second were like 13-3 in favor of Utah. So it definitely got a little dicey for the Blackhawks. I think the encouraging part for me, Jack, throughout these first four games is it seems like it's a different story every night, or different guys stepping up every night. Like the first game, Frank Nazar had a multi-point effort. The second game in Boston, I thought it was Connor Bedard's best game of the year, where he has a goal and an assist, almost had the game winner in overtime, but he gets denied on a breakaway. Last night against Utah, Saturday's home opener against Montreal, it was the penalty kill that stood tall, because it was 10 power plays for the Canadians, which I don't think I've ever seen before. And then last night, it was the third line of Donato, Dickinson, and Mikheyev. Specifically, Mikheyev was just unbelievable. Perhaps his best game as a Blackhawk. Scored twice. One of them was an empty netter. But when he was on the ice, it just felt like he was relentlessly forechecking the opponent, and they could not breathe out there. And how about the stats of that, the third line last night? When the three of them, Donato, Dickinson, and Mikheyev, when they were on the ice last night at 5-on-5, the shot attempts were 13-5 in favor of Chicago. Shots on goal were 8-1 in favor of Chicago, and scoring chances were 8-2 in favor of Chicago. When they weren't on the ice, shot attempts were 30-6 in favor of Utah, 10-2 in favor of Utah in the shots on goal department, and then scoring chances 12-3 in favor of Utah. So it was night and day difference, and so much so that Jeff Blashill leaned heavily on Mikheyev in a game where he went 11 forwards and 7 defensemen, which he's done twice now this season. He was able to give more ice time to Mikheyev, and I believe Mikheyev finished second among all Chicago forwards yesterday in ice time, second only to Connor Bedard. So it was a terrific performance by Mikheyev, and it's nice, Jack, for that third line of Donato, Dickinson, Mikheyev. Like, they have a real checking line there, but it was encouraging, too, that they were generating offense yesterday as well.
Yeah, they were really good. I mean, Mikheyev stood out to me in the home opener, and I think Steve Conroy said it on the broadcast, yeah, just how he was on the penalty kill. And he's just flying around, and he's kind of been an under-the-radar type guy. I mean, I looked it up today. He scored 20 goals last year, and you don't really think about that. He's just really solid, and Jason Dickinson was talking about it too yesterday. They asked him about it, and he's just like, well, you know what he's going to get. It's not always going to get, you're going to get from him. It's not always going to show up in the stat sheet. And I think he said like he might even be like a -1, but you don't know the impact he had in the game. I mean, they sent him out there on the penalty kill. I think he's the first one out there, and he just kind of sets the tone of chasing those guys around the top, and he's very aggressive, and that's good to see him using his speed and just making them feel uncomfortable, because you saw Utah being really aggressive, making the Hawks uncomfortable in their penalty kills, and then Mikheyev was doing that on the other side.
Yeah, and even in that Boston game on Thursday, when Dickinson left because of an injury, and then Foligno was in the penalty box, there was a full 2-minute 5-on-3 power play for Boston, and Mikheyev, who's a winger, took the defensive zone draw because he is legitimately their best penalty killer. So Blashill was just like, I don't care that he's a winger, just throw him out there at the faceoff circle, because even if he loses, I know I got my guy Mikheyev out there that is the best penalty killer on the team. And so that was certainly encouraging. And you mentioned too, Spencer Knight, that the goaltending that Chicago has gotten. I mean, we talk about Nazar's hot start. Bedard was terrific against Boston. I thought he was noticeable at times over the last couple games as well. The Sam Renzel gets his first goal against Boston, but Spencer Knight, through three starts, he's got a .920 save percentage, and so he's off to a fantastic start. And so there's just a lot of positive storylines that are developing for Chicago through the first four games. You look at the record, and it looked like if you're just a casual fan, you haven't watched a single Blackhawks game this year, you see the 1-2-1 record and you're like, oh, same old Hawks from what they were last year. But they definitely have a different feel. Like, if you're watching them, they're more exciting, they're more competitive. And one thing, Jack, that we have mentioned the last couple games is they are developing an identity of wanting to stick up for each other. We saw it in the Boston game. Nikita Zadorov hits Sam Rinzel. Like, teammates come to his defense. I remember Zadorov also cross-checked Frank Nazar in front of the net. Connor Bedard swoops in, and he gets in the face of Zadorov and some of the bigger-sized Bruins. And then against the Montreal Canadiens, we saw Caden Gooley lit up Frank Nazar in the neutral zone. Teuvo Teravainen goes to jump in, but then he sees Louis Crevier storming from the blue line to come fight. And even though Crevier got hit with the instigator, 5 minute for fighting, and 10 minute misconduct, every single guy in that locker room said after the game, that's a penalty that will take all day long, because it's we're coming to the aid of our teammate, and it's laying the groundwork of this unification both on and off the ice. And so I think Blashill's quote after the game specifically was, if you don't care about each other enough to fight for each other, you're not going to be a good team. So we're going to fight for each other this year. And Jack, I think that has been very evident through four games, that there's this bond off the ice that's carrying onto the ice. Like, hey, I got your back. And it's been beautiful to watch early on this season.
It definitely has. And it's something different too. Some of these young guys have been in the NHL for a few years now, so they're starting to get a little comfortable. And now they're saying, like, okay, now it's my turn to stand up for these guys, especially Connor Bedard. I mean, he's in really good shape, had a good offseason, and now he's starting to mix it up a little bit, and he's kind of had enough of being pushed around, so it's good to see him fighting back. And there's a lot of that in that Montreal game too, and I guess the penalties got a little sideways, but that was more of other stuff. But it is good to see that they're standing up for each other, because that's how you know that it's a close team. Because if they really didn't care about each other, you just see guys getting laid out and not a lot happening. And that's normally when you see, is there a problem in the locker room? Is there a problem with the coaching staffs? Or is there something wrong with that? The Hawks don't have that at all. They got each other's back. And it might help, too, that they're all pretty young, too, so they have a lot in common. You know, Bedard and Nazar are doing the 6-7 jokes. And then you got all these other young guys with them, too. So it seems like they genuinely enjoy each other, too. And when I've gone in the locker room and some of the guys are filtering out when we're talking, you know, like maybe they're chirping, one of the guys are yelling at them, like, way to go 9-1, or, you know, stuff like that. So that is good to see.
100%. You mentioned, I think it was Connor Bedard that said after the Boston game, he said, we're not going to take any you-know-what from anyone this year. So he kind of set the tone, like, he's part of the guys that have been in these scrums. I will say he certainly initiated his in Montreal when he flicked the puck into Alexander Carrier, and then that kind of led to a scrum, and then he was getting in the face of Josh Anderson. So in that situation, I'd probably pull back just a little bit if I was Connor, but I like that he came into the defense of Frank Nazar in Boston, even though it was Nikita Zadorov who's got it like probably a full foot on Connor, for him to step in there. I thought it was great to watch. And you raise a great point. If you see guys get hit, just watch NHL games. If you see somebody get lit up and there is no response by the team, that to me identifies there's something wrong with the culture. Either the players aren't thrilled with the player, or there's no team unity off the ice. The second Frank Nazar got cross-checked in Boston, Connor Bedard saw it, he swarmed in. And then on Saturday in the home opener, when Caden Gooley lit him up in the neutral zone, both Teravainen and Louis Crevier, their instant reactions were going after Gooley. And I think that it's a testament to how much they love Frank Nazar, because he is like a glue guy inside that locker room, but he's also a valuable member of the team on the ice. And so when I saw that, I'm like, okay, they love having Frank around, and he is... I like what the Chicago culture is becoming off the ice. It certainly feels like that bond is starting to strengthen among them.
Yeah, it's all the kids, right? It's more the youth movement this year, and
right.
Some of these guys have played with each other in Rockford, and now they're up here, so they have that familiarity with them. And I do like how even in the media, like you said, like Bedard's like, we're not taking that this year, and they're probably sick of being at the bottom of the standings too, and they think other teams might think like they're the, I don't know, the doormat or whatever, and they're tired of being that, so they're trying to fight back. It kind of reminds me of when, to bring it to baseball, when Anthony Rizzo went against the Reds dugout in 2014, that kind of signaled, hey, this is like when the Cubs are turning. It might be a little early for the Hawks with that, but it could be a little bit like, hey, we're done with this. It's time for us to come out of this rebuild, and we're moving up the standings.
For sure. And I think a huge role, Jeff Blashill. I think they all believe in Jeff Blashill as a head coach, and I think that's elevating the entire group's confidence. So I think not to underestimate the Blashill effect as well. All right, we got much more to get here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, including my interview with Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Very special guests joining me now, Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz. Danny, we are officially into the centennial season. How excited are you to kind of get going and unveil the plans that you've been preparing for probably years?
Absolutely. It's absolutely been years, and then obviously ramped up over the last several months gearing up for the season. But it's such an incredible opportunity to celebrate our history and legacy, and all the types of things we can do for our fans and for us and our family too. I mean, this is as much going into our family archives and history and memories and moments. And so even personally, like, we're all excited to just live it with the fans too. So it's a real special thing. And obviously Saturday night was in the home crowd was an awesome way to sort of kick off the season.
What kind of preparations behind the scenes have you guys been doing to prepare for a season like this? Because it's not just one night, let's get all the band back together. I mean, this is a season-long thing.
Totally.
So how much prep work went into this behind the scenes, like the blood, sweat, and tears by everyone here?
Well, almost every department in the organization had a piece to play in this. And I think one of the important things when we started was really trying to figure out what story do we want to tell in 100 years, and how do we do the centennial in Blackhawks fashion, which, you know, one of the key values of the organization is originality, right? So how do you do something in an original way that both celebrates and honors legacy, but make it also feel fresh? Because nobody likes just a long, droning history lesson. How do we make it still vibrant and exciting if you're talking about great moments from the 50s as much as something that just happened in the last couple of years? And I think finding that great balance and then creating these chapters was a way for us to make sure all those moments got properly put in the right context as to what was happening in the world around those 100 years, and celebrate also. And I think also a lot of what we spent time thinking about was, how do we not make this so retrospective that we forget that we have this really exciting young team that's really writing the next chapter? So making sure that's part of the celebration as well. So all that comes together. And then, of course, all the ideas and the little executions. And one of the big pieces underlying all this is our relationship with our alumni. They are the folks that people really latch onto in their favorite moments and eras, right? Their favorite players, whether they're the household names that we all know or some of the more obscure players that just was your favorite growing up. And everybody's got a couple of those. And so it was really important that we really doubled down on outreach to our alumni, a lot of which we are already in touch with, but some that we had to track down. And so it's been fun as a really important foundational piece was that the alumni are a big piece of this experience too.
That was one of the cool things, being a part of the red carpet ceremony on Saturday. I'm looking around of where we were all congregated, and I'm like, oh, there's Jocelyn Thibault. There's like different players from different eras. 60, I think, alumni were in attendance.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are so many more that are going to be honored throughout the year. What was it like reconnecting with alumni from all different generations?
When I saw everybody on Friday night as everybody was arriving, it was even more special than I imagined. I saw names on paper and I was excited. But then when you see them, it just brought back so many memories of of these folks as heroes, as legends, and hearing where they're at in their life and how much the Blackhawks still mean to them. You know, it could be decades since they played. They don't live in Chicago, but, you know, once you play in Chicago, you know, Chicago leaves a mark on these players, and I think they really appreciated reconnecting.
We mentioned the different eras. One thing that I'm excited about, how you were talking about the different chapters, it's like the era that my dad grew up watching,
exactly.
those players,
yep.
my childhood grew up watching, and then it's like the dynasty era. How cool is it that you're able to give each portion of the fan base their kind of chapter to be able to cater to, oh, we have an older generation crowd tonight because they want to come back and see their, you know, like how cool is that?
Absolutely. That's one thing that I just see and hear time and time again talking to fans, is just everybody has their point of reference, and not that fans haven't actually been able to span generations, but there's always that sweet spot. I mean, for me, it was probably, you know, 80s and 90s, you know, just being a kid collecting hockey cards and being really into the Blackhawks. Like, those players have a different meaning, so everybody's kind of got that era that they identify with, and I think it's great that we can give the right spotlight of those eras and those players and those times for the fans to correspond to. And then, you know, a great chance for younger fans to sort of see the building blocks of what got to, you know, the three cups and obviously built the into the team today.
The Blackhawks Hall of Fame, let's talk about that. I think it's a great thing that you guys are doing, mainly because there have been so many great players to pass through Chicago that might not be worthy enough to get their number in the rafters, but worthy enough to get the recognition for what they meant to this city. How excited are you that you're able to implement that this year, and so the fan, they can get their due?
Yes, huge. Because, and again, that was also years in the making. All this is related, right? You know, how we engage alumni, how we honor our alumni, and unfortunately only having like one outlet in jersey retirement doesn't do it justice. 100 years, and think of the players that have played for us, the great contributions so many have made. It's very hard to just limit it to something like a jersey retirement. And so I'm really happy we have the outlet and the space to honor those players. And we can really talk about the players that contributed in different ways that don't always show up in the record books. And I think that's another thing too. Steve Larmer, he obviously has a lot of records, so there's no question he's got it, but sort of the unsung heroes, maybe not the household names, or the people that just quietly went about their business and, you know, not only contributed on the score sheet, but also really represented what it's like to be a Blackhawk. And we can really tell those stories through this Hall of Fame, both in the event to induct them, but also have a permanent space, you know, at the Fifth Third Arena to, you know, showcase, you know, our great legends.
Yeah, I think of a guy like Nicholas Hjalmarsson, where he's probably like the best defensive defenseman of our era.
Yep.
It's like, you know, you look at his numbers and you're like, oh, well, might not be Hall of Fame worthy, but he impacted the
There's
game.
There's not one fan that would disagree with that, right?
100%.
If you were watching that team during that run, those are the kind of players that just, you know, were the keys to success. And so having the opportunity to celebrate those types of players is absolutely what the goal is.
How long did it take to realize, okay, we actually need a Ring of Honor or Hall of Fame type thing to honor these players? Because I know some different sports, they do it, but when you win three cups in 6 years and you have all these great players that pass through, was it kind of like a no-brainer when you're putting together the centennial season? Like, this has to be part of it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first off, it starts with, you know, so many of those players in jersey retirements. It really started when with Marian Hossa, and this realizing like we have to put more rigor against this area of retirements and honoring and all this kind of stuff. And then it became a much bigger conversation, and you never want to just do this as a one-off. You want it to be sort of a comprehensive approach to how we celebrate and honor our great players. And then it became a more about, you know, almost 3 to 4 years worth of planning and kind of creating ideas around how we're going to do this. And so it's nice to finally unveil kind of how it all works. And I know fans really love this kind of stuff. And I think half the fun is just debating who should be in, why this person versus this person. Then, of course, the debates between the eras and if that person played in that era. But that's what's great about being a fan.
Saturday was the first look that we got to see the centennial jerseys on home ice.
Absolutely.
It looks really sharp. I know it's subtle, but the gold stitching around the logo and not touching what I think is the best logo in all of sports is probably played into it. Like, we don't want to, you know, it's a sacred logo. What went into the decision and the behind the scenes of trying to recreate or like honor the the past, but also not wanting to touch, you know, the sacred
100%.
Logo.
So the cool thing is, and we've been able to do this clearly through different events, you know, Winter Classics and Stadium Series, is we have a great history of really cool designs within the 100 years. Different colorways, different striping, different versions of the logo, but, you know, for the Centennial to pick just one of those throwback eras just wouldn't do it justice. I mean, ultimately, the home red with the logo is, I believe, the best jersey in all of sports.
Agreed.
So when you have something that's the best, don't mess with it. And so we wanted it to feel special. That's why we added those little elements and then just let it speak for itself. And I'm really glad that the fans recognize that. That wasn't us just being lazy and just phoning it in. We actually, we felt that the restraint in it was actually the power in our incredible jersey. So I think it turned out terrific. It looks great live, and a great piece that fans can hold on to for the season.
All right, last one for you, a hockey-related question. A full rebuild, it requires a lot of patience, right? How nice is it to slowly start seeing things come together where guys like Frank Nazar, Sam Renzel, they're starting to graduate to the NHL and we're able to watch them in front of our very eyes versus, oh, they're in juniors or college and we won't get to see them yet. I mean, is it nice to kind of start seeing some light at the end of the tunnel?
Absolutely. I mean, we have preached patience and we are fully supportive of the approach, but we're all competitive folks over here, and we want to start to see those little green shoots start to sprout. And it's been great in the last year to see some of these young players. And you know, I keep good tabs on juniors and college ranks, and so I'm excited about the pipeline. But there's nothing like seeing a player put on the jersey for the first time, and not just have their first game, but really start to contribute. And I think some of these players are not just showing up, they are contributing to our success, the way we play the game. And it's really exciting to see. And I have a feeling we'll be seeing, you know, a player start to pop here and there as we go along throughout the season. And there's no guarantee of who that's going to be and when and how. And so that's the fun part about this stage and where we're at, is we're starting to see some of those players really start to take big steps. And I think also to do it together. So you're starting to see this pack start to form, where they're really encouraging each other. They have each other's back, clearly, and we saw that in the last couple games. And I just love to see it. So I hope our fans do, and I think they are starting to see that. You know, the future success is starting to show up today.
Awesome. Well, Danny, thanks for doing this, and here's to another 100 years of Blackhawks.
Let's do it. That's right. Thank awesome. You so much, Charlie. Take Thank care. You.
Charlie Romeliotis, back here with you. That audio you just heard was Pat Boyle of CHSN. We recorded a Blackhawks Breakaway podcast earlier this morning. It dropped a few hours ago. That's sponsored by Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. And one of the things we were talking about was the start for Andre Burakovsky. I know he didn't have the greatest start out in Florida. He wasn't too noticeable. And I wasn't really impressed with his training camp as a whole. I think it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was just kind of in the middle. But the last three games, I think he's been really, really noticeable and developing that chemistry with Connor Bedard. Scored a goal last night against Utah, and it ended up being the game-winning goal, which is why he was named the number one star of the game. But he also had a multi-point performance against Boston on Thursday, a goal and an assist. And each of the last three games, he's recorded two shots on goal, whereas he didn't have a single one in Florida for the season opener. So I've really liked Andre Burakovsky over the last couple games here since the quiet season opener. And Jack, I think he could be a potential player that is a consistent line mate for Connor Bedard. Maybe not long term as far as, you know, years from now, but I think for this season it could be a duo that works between Burakovsky and Bedard.
Yeah, definitely since that first game, it's been a lot better. And I saw how the social media buzzes. They did not like Burakovsky's first game. And then it's funny that Donato's the one that gets moved off it, and they moved Colton Dock up there. But I think that whole line's been better. And Burakovsky's been pretty good on the power play. That second power play has been a little better than the first so far this season. And he's generated some good chances. And he had that really good pass to Bedard, too, in that Boston game to set up his goal. That top line, so that line, and then the Nazar line, the second line's played pretty well in offense so far to start the season. So that's been positive with the Hawks wanting to split up Nazar and Bedard for right now to spread out the offense. So those top two lines have been pretty solid so far this season.
Another positive development from yesterday's game was Artem Levchinov bouncing back in a good way after being a healthy scratch in the home opener on Saturday. Had a tough road trip against Florida and Boston, so he kind of needed a little reset, but the Hawks end up going with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen against Utah, and it's something that I think Jeff Blashill even acknowledged yesterday. I know you were there, Jack, saying that he's likely going to go with 11 and 7 a decent amount this year. And I think it's because the blue line is so young that a couple of them might be going and a couple of them might be struggling. And so you want to have the option to play the young defenseman situationally. Levchinov more in offensive roles, Louis Crevier, Wyatt Kaiser in more defensive roles. And so don't be surprised if we see the Blackhawks going more 11 and 7 down the road. And so I thought it was a nice bounce back performance by Levchinov yesterday.
Yeah, it was good to see, and I love his goal celebrations, even when he doesn't score. It's
he's so excited.
Yeah, he was literally jumping on the ice. It was funny, but yeah, it's good to see him get back in, and Jeff Blashill talked about it from the home opener. After the home opener, he's like, sometimes with a young player, they are going to sit. It's part of their development, and then he gets them right back out there, and he plays better, so... that is a positive, and like he says all the time, and we're probably going to hear it a bunch, is the peaks and the valleys. So hopefully he's trending back up for Artie.
Yep, no question about it. Well, that was a fun show. Thanks to the Blackhawks and for Danny Wirtz again for the interview. Really enjoyed the conversation. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Thanks for being with us. Our next show is going to be Monday, October 20th at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then.